Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 76 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Joshua Grandison.
They have a grant right now to put elevators in it, and there's talk of putting a library in the top floor of it.
Olive Hill City Councilman Randall Tackett is talking about the old Olive Hill High School. Now those things will be possible, thanks to an announcement today by Governor Beshear and Congressman Rogers.
A former Ashland police officer is going to jail following his convictions on drug and weapons charges.
And some of the highest gas prices in the region are in Moorhead.
In sports, the Reds try to make it 2 straight over the Cubs in Chicago tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy with much cooler temperatures tonight. Lows around 57. The complete weather forecast is coming up. But first, this news.
Governor Beshear says $860,000 is being made available to rehabilitate and convert the former Olive Hill High School into a new community educational arts center. The facility will serve as both a public library for the city and a satellite campus for the Ashland Community and Technical College. The governor says the money comes from community development block grant funds, the Appalachian Regional Commission, and the Federal Department of Energy. Olive Hill Mayor Kenny Fankel says there have been plans to renovate the 84-year-old building for some time.
It's been going on 15 years. They needed more money to complete it. Now the ARC money's come through. Congressman Rogers made the announcement in Grayson about it. It can now be completed and everybody can move on.
Rehabilitation of the three-story structure will include the refurbishing of walls, ceilings, and floors, the installation of electrical wiring and ductwork for heating and air conditioning. Handicapped accessible restrooms and an elevator will also be installed. Ashland Community and Technical College will utilize the new center as a satellite campus to offer both credit and non-credit courses.
The city of Moorhead is seeking renewal of a state grant to continue operation of a long-term residential center for men recovering from substance abuse. Tom Carew is a member of the city council.
The Inspiration Center, which is west of town, typically receives a $250,000 community development block grant from the state of Kentucky to help their operation. And that grant is channeled through the city. It's a pass-through from the city to the Inspiration Center. And so we traditionally approve that every year.
Moorhead has received the grant since the Inspiration Center opened in 2007. The money is used to reimburse Pathways Incorporated for operational costs. Pathways is a nonprofit community-based organization that runs 50 mental health care facilities in 10 Kentucky counties.
Former Ashland police officer Melvin Schock has been sentenced to 75 months in prison following his convictions in U.S. District Court on drug and firearms charges. The Ashland Independent reports that Schock was sentenced Monday by Judge David Bunning. The 33-year-old Ashland man pleaded guilty earlier this year to charges of attempting to possess oxycodone with intent to distribute and possessing a firearm during the commission of a drug crime. Prosecutors said Schock entered a home for the purpose of seizing drugs to sell.
The Mount Sterling Advocate reports that a Jefferson County woman, or Jeffersonville woman, has been let out of prison early after serving 3.5 years of an 8-year sentence for second-degree manslaughter. The paper says 62-year-old Pam Bartley was released July 23rd. She had been serving time for the killing of her 58-year-old husband, Carl Bartley, in 2007. The victim was shot in the back of the head in the couple's garage. A Kentucky justice and public safety cabinet official is quoted as saying Bartley's release allows her to live under state supervision with her daughter in Campbell County for the next 6 months. If there are no problems, she would be given her unconditional freedom in January. Bartley has appealed her manslaughter conviction to the Kentucky Supreme Court. Arguments in the case are set for August 22nd in Frankfort.
One Eastern Kentucky jail is looking for ways to cut down on problems stemming from an overpopulation of prisoners. The Kentucky River Regional Jail currently holds 85 more inmates than the lockup is approved for. Perry County Judge Executive Denny Noble says that's a problem that has to be fixed. He spoke with WYMT.
The circuit district judge has to do their job, too. And we look at finances, and, you know, they look at the threat of the people out there, which that's their job to do that.
County leaders are looking at cutting incarceration time on alcohol intoxication charges and offering more community service, as well as home incarceration for nonviolent offenders.
Some big changes could be in store for the federal criminal justice system, which will mean changes for Kentucky. In a speech to the American Bar Association yesterday, Attorney General Eric Holder said the changes could include scaling back the use of harsh prison sentences for certain drug-related crimes and diversion of low-level offenders to drug treatment and community service. Kentucky already has experience with Holder's proposals. The state's General Justice Secretary is J. Michael Brown, who talked about the law's impact in the Bluegrass.
A year ago, our prison population was 22,118. That's a year ago today. And today it was 19,899. When you estimate a little over $20,000 a year, and that's a conservative estimate to house inmates, that starts adding up to real dollars.
Kentucky has also cut recidivism by providing prisoners with a transition period between incarceration and society. Secretary Brown added that public opinion has softened and Kentucky's crime rate has remained virtually flat since the law was enacted.
A dispute between an organization charged with promoting downtown Moorhead and Rowan County is still simmering. Both Moorhead Tomorrow and the county claim they should get the $75,000 former MT Executive Director Terry Alderman stole from the agency but has since paid back. Efforts to resolve the matter through arbitration at the end of July failed after Rowan Judge Executive Jim Nickel reportedly said he didn't have the authorization to make a final decision regarding any proposed solutions. Mayor David Perkins sits on the Moorhead Tomorrow board.
The board at Moorhead Tomorrow was very frustrated because the instructions were to come send somebody who had authority to make a decision. Moorhead Tomorrow felt like they bent over backwards to try to get this issue resolved, and it didn't happen, so they're quite frustrated. But as far as what took place, we're not supposed to discuss that according to the rules of mediation.
At this point, Perkins says he doesn't know when Rowan Circuit Judge Beth Mays will issue a final ruling on the matter.
Kentucky exports topped $12 billion midway through the year, a double-digit increase over the same period last year. Governor Beshear said today that the state's export growth is significantly outpacing the national average. He says the state is on track to break last year's record of $22 billion in exports. The governor says Kentucky companies have exported to 192 countries so far this year, with the top destinations including Canada, Mexico, and Britain. Beshear says only New Hampshire has seen more growth in exports than Kentucky in the first half of the year.
Kentucky's recovery from the recession has been stronger in urban areas than it has been elsewhere, so says the president and chief executive officer of the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce. Dave Atkison assessed the state's economy Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight program. He says employment has risen above pre-recession levels in some parts of Kentucky, but the recovery has not been across the board.
Lexington's up about 1% over where it was in the first quarter of 2008, which was the last quarter before everything tanked. Louisville's about even. You go to a place like Ashland, the Huntington-Ashland metropolitan area, it's still down 5%. Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky's down about 4%.
Atkison says employment is up slightly in Bowling Green, and it's 4.4% higher in Owensboro compared to the last quarter before the recession.
According to the website KentuckyGasPrices.com, people who buy gas in Moorhead are paying 10 to 27 cents more per gallon than they are in many surrounding communities. The lowest price for regular unleaded fuel in Moorhead today is $3.53. It is $3.26 in Mount Sterling, $3.33 in Maysville, and $3.38 in Ashland. The average price in Kentucky is $3.44. The highest prices in the Bluegrass today are in Louisville and Winchester, where gas is selling for $3.89. Kentucky's lowest price is in Glasgow. It's $3.16 there.
A new campaign is being started to encourage more people to patronize Moorhead's businesses. The city's Main Street manager, Tony Pence, says he's working with local tourism director Joy Brown and Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Tracy Williams on the effort, which will be called Explore Moorhead.
It was difficult to come up with a ubiquitous slogan that would not exclude everyone else. So we didn't want to do that. We wanted everyone to be included because you're in the city, you're in the city. And, you know, you're local. So the Moorhead area is what we targeted. And we wanted to be inclusive of all businesses that, you know, spend their hard-earned time here.
Which makes the initiative a little different from a recent campaign called Uniquely Moorhead, which focused on trying to convince people to shop at the city's locally owned businesses. There's been no timetable set for kicking off Explore Moorhead, although Pence says it will start with a marketing campaign.
Construction projects were front and center during a recent meeting of the Mason County Board of Education. MSPR's Sam Steyert has that story.
The Ledger Independent reports the construction of the district's new track and soccer fields, as well as other improvements, are underway. The plans were finalized after the Kentucky Department of Transportation agreed to widen nearby Maple Leaf Road. The work has progressed to the point where the track and field event sites have been paved and are ready to have their rubberized surfaces installed. Construction work has also taken place on the crosswalks and stop signs at the entrance to the Straub Elementary and the football field parking lot. Other measures approved by the board were the creation of an additional kindergarten teaching position at Straub Elementary, and $27,000 for a member of the Mason County Sheriff's Office to be on site at each of Mason County's schools. From SPR News, I'm Sam Steyert.
The start of another school year is tough on a lot of household budgets, and that's why an Ironton couple is again sponsoring a consignment sale of clothing, toys, and other things next week in Cannonsburg. Alex and Lydia Gillespie have hosted the kids' seasonal consignment sale at the Kiowa Mall for more than 10 years. It's scheduled to take place between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m., August 19th through the 24th. Alex Gillespie says it's an opportunity for parents to buy good quality used clothing and other items for their children for about a fourth of the cost of new merchandise.
I think that it's amazing how people in our community have get together and work through this process, because it really, it's a lot of work to meet the needs of our community, especially during the economic downturn that has occurred over the past several years. And people are very unselfish and very much put not only their money but their labor into trying to help to meet the needs of everybody in our area.
Gillespie says the sale benefits parents in two ways. He says it helps some of them outfit their kids for the new school year on a budget, and it allows others who have clothing in good condition that their children have outgrown to make a few dollars from selling it. There's information about the event on the Gillespie's website, www.kidsale.net.
The Greenup County Area Technology Center is looking for another teacher to help with the school's growing nursing assistant program. The center started the program 3 years ago with about 80 students, but interest in it has since skyrocketed. It received about 300 applicants last year, and Principal Sarah Johnson says they only had 120 slots available.
We have an abundance of students requesting a class that we can only put, where we're only supposed to put probably 20 to 23. We have 25, 26 in them, but, you know, that many students in each class, and we've just got more students asking for the class than what we have available.
Johnson says that the biggest obstacle to hiring another teacher is getting funding from the state and local officials. However, despite that difficulty, she maintains they will continue to expand the program and accommodate interested students as best they can.
And finally this afternoon, Kentucky author and poet Wendell Berry has won the Dayton Literary Peace Prize's Lifetime Achievement Award. The award recognizes the Henry County writer's steadfast promotion of the need for people to live in harmony with their environment. The 79-year-old Berry has been a staunch opponent of strip mining and other development he says damages the land. Meanwhile, he keeps a garden, raises sheep, and lives largely technology-free on his farm in Port Royal. Berry says he is surprised and honored by the award.
And taking a look at the weather forecast for our listening area, including the counties of Mason, Fleming, and Powell. Tonight, partly cloudy and cooler with lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, mostly clear and cooler with lows around 50. Thursday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-70s. Thursday night, partly cloudy with lows in the upper 50s. And Friday, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 70s. Currently in Ashland, it is 74 degrees. 75 degrees in Flemingsburg, it is 77 degrees in Winchester. In Lexington and Inez, it is currently 78 degrees, and it's currently 76 degrees here in Moorhead.
It is 4:45. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is good to have your company. on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, each year the Kentucky Arts Council recognizes artists who are engaged in creating work of high quality. MSPR's Paul Hitchcock has the story of a Moorhead artist who uses his skill to teach and inspire others.
Seth Green is one of only eight recognized this year as a recipient of the Al Smith Fellowship Award. He is an assistant professor of art at Moorhead State University, where he practices his craft of ceramic art and teaches the next generation of artists and art educators. He plans to use the award money on traveling to places that inspire his work, such as Prague, Istanbul, and throughout the Middle East. Green says this is one of the most significant awards he has received as an artist.
My work is influenced by religious architecture, and I've only experienced these via the internet and in books. I really think that visiting these places and going inside of these structures that have influenced my work for many years, I think will really have a big impact on me and on my work. So this is something I'm really looking forward to.
He says he enjoys working with ceramics and the process of creating art, which all starts with a simple drawing.
Well, I do a lot of sketching. I have a sketchbook. Then I usually, you know, take a visual reference, like, for example, like the Blue Mosque in Istanbul. I start doing some sketches. I'm also thinking about like a ritual or ceremonial vessel. And so I usually have an idea before I wedge up my ball of clay and throw it on my wheel. But there is a period during the time when I'm creating my work that there is some spontaneity, some things that occur that I react to and respond to. The final process of my work is when I glaze it and fire it. And there's a lot of things that could happen during a firing that could change the overall appearance of the piece.
Green says the approach to creating his art is a combination of technical, such as the building of kilns or glaze and clay formulations, to integrating historical references in his work.
I use a lot of glazes that mimic metal, because Islamic metalwork is something that is influential to me. Combine my inspirations from Islamic metalwork and architecture, religious architecture. I'm more concerned about the spiritual aspects of the work rather than the everyday functional aspects of the work.
Green says he is honored with the Al Smith Fellowship Award. It's all part of the process of being an artist.
A lot of what we do as artists is showing up. You have to apply for the grants and the scholarships and the exhibitions and stuff like that. To me, it's just a symbol of the success that I'm receiving for my artwork, especially in the state.
Most people see ceramic art as bowls, pots, coffee mugs, or even ashtrays. As an art form, ceramics can be functional. But Green says he envisions his work for a higher purpose.
My work is removed from the everyday utility of the pot that you would put in the kitchen sink or in the dishwasher after use. Instead, it's more closely related to a ritual or ceremonial vessel that would be used inside of a temple or for a ritual or a ceremony.
Seth Green, assistant professor of art at Moorhead State University and recipient of an Al Smith Fellowship Award this year from the Kentucky Arts Council. Artists have the ability to change and improve their communities, playing a major role in its development and revitalization. Seth Green hopes to use his award to further his own awareness of the world and to share those experiences in his art and to the community. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Paul Hitchcock.
It is 4:48, all things considered, at 5 o'clock, and Tanner has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, open at 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and located near the entrance to the Moorhead City Park. The Rowan County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program WIC and senior checks are accepted. For additional information, the phone number is 784-5457. Kentucky Proud. Nothing else is close.
The Reds are back at Wrigley. Good afternoon from Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Tanner Boyd. The Cincinnati Reds are back in Chicago tonight for another 8:05 contest against the Cubs. Matt Latos helped the Redlegs get the series off on the right foot last night by pitching them to a 2-0 win. After the game, manager Dusty Baker noted he's hoping that fellow right-hander Homer Bailey will give Cincinnati another strong mound performance this evening.
We can get another great game out of Bailey tomorrow, which we had asked for before, and then our bullpen will be back to being right.
6-11, Jeff Samardzija will be Bailey's mound opponent tonight. The third-place Reds are 4.5 games behind division-leading Pittsburgh in the National League Central. The Pirates start a series with the second-place Cardinals tonight in St. Louis. A police report says that witnesses didn't see anyone else standing near an Atlanta Braves fan when he fell to his death at the team's stadium. The report reflects the account of four eyewitnesses who saw Ronald Lee Homer Jr. fall about 65 feet Monday night from a fourth-level smoking area into a parking lot for Braves players. The report released today says there were no cameras in the area. It describes the fall as accidental. The report says Homer was unconscious and wasn't breathing when paramedics arrived after the fall that happened around 8:30. Homer was later pronounced dead at a hospital. Homer, a lifelong Braves fan, had told his mother in a phone call shortly before the accident that he was preparing to head to a seat after a rain delay. After having the night off, the Lexington Legends will be returning to South Atlantic League action. The Legends kick off a road series against the Charleston River Dogs in South Carolina. Game time is scheduled for 7:05. The Cincinnati Bengals are back at work as they prepare for their second NFL preseason game. They'll host the Tennessee Titans Saturday night at 7 at Paul Brown Stadium. Head coach Marvin Lewis says he wants the Bengals to move to the next phase this week and show some improvements over their efforts during their August 1st exhibition loss to Atlanta.
We got a lot of work to do. We didn't do things as well as we needed to. We ran the ball for some production, but we weren't at all as good with our assignments as we need to be, particularly for the time we've invested in it. I think defensively, we had kind of two minus negative plays where they made yardage there, and they're very fixable things.
Lewis says the Bengals' defensive backs must also do a better job of playing the ball in the air. Jarvis Jones always had a knack for finding the football during his college career at Georgia. It hasn't taken the Pittsburgh Steelers rookie linebacker long to do the same in the NFL. Jones recovered a fumble in his first preseason game last Saturday, continuing a series of highlight reel plays that began almost the moment the Steelers began training camp at St. Vincent College. Lawrence Timmons says once Jones put it all together, he's going to become a problem for other opponents. First, Jones has to find a way to unseat Jason Worlds, who currently sits atop the depth chart at right outside linebacker. The fate of a plan to renovate the shuttered Houston Astrodome will be in the hands of voters this fall. Harris County Commissioners approved today placing a measure on the November 5th ballot that will ask voters to authorize up to $217 million in bonds to pay for a plan to turn the stadium into a convention center and exhibition space. The iconic stadium has fallen into disrepair since it was shuttered 4 years ago. County officials say if the ballot measure is approved, it will mean a property tax increase. With his team participating in preseason practices all week, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier is pleased with the efforts his Eagles have put forth in recent days. However, with classes starting next week at MSU, he admits it's crucial the Eagles give it their all, while football is the only thing on their plate every day this week.
Obviously, our focus needs to be football, and that's what it is right now. I think our young people have made a commitment to come out and try and get better every day. But camp is camp. This is time for football. And I shared it the very first night we met. These 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, are really what determines what kind of football team we're going to be.
Tenier says 15 freshmen came to campus early in the summer to take courses and adjust to life on a college campus. He believes that will help make the transition into the academic school year much smoother. Preparations for the 2013 season for the Rowan County football team are ramping up. Coach Kyle Singleton is working to get the Vikings ready for a Thursday night scrimmage at Bourbon County.
Practice is going pretty well right now, getting back from camp and trying to get ourselves back into game week. We're trying to treat, our scrimmage kind of as a game preparation to get our kids used to, how we prepare each week and by bringing them in on Sunday and getting some film and some lifting in and then, try to work through the practice and make sure we're getting all three phases covered every day and making sure we stay sharp on all the things we need to going into this first scrimmage.
The Rowan football team will face off with Clark County in its season opener in just 11 days at the 66th Annual Recreation Bowl in Mount Sterling. The 2013 season for the Rowan County boys soccer team begins tomorrow night at the Vikings face St. Patrick's at 7 o'clock. The contest will mark the debut of new Vikings coach Max Hammonds.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for it. I've been looking forward to it since I took the job and seeing what we can do over here with the talent and the soccer community over here is always really strong, so we're hoping to have a lot of good kids come out and get soccer knowledge out of all the kids, and that's what I've seen so far out of them.
Hammonds is replacing Allen Evans, who led the Rowan boys for 9 seasons. The Vikes went 14-6-4 in Evans' final year at the helm. And finally, FIFA says it has asked the 2018 World Cup host Russia for clarification and more details about a new anti-gay law. The legislation prohibiting propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations among minors prompted an international furor. The IOC already is seeking answers about how Russia will enforce it during the Sochi Winter Olympics in February. FIFA says in a statement that Russia has committed to provide all visitors and fans with a warm welcome and ensure their safety during its month-long marquee tournament. Soccer's governing body added that it trusts that the 2018 FIFA World Cup will deliver on its promise. And that's sports. I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single-game tickets for football. Single-event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Loop with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks finished in positive territory, rebounding nicely after Atlanta Federal Reserve President Dennis Lockhart downplayed the notion that the central bank would begin winding down its bond buying program at its September meeting. And meanwhile, Apple spiked nearly 5% after billionaire investor Carl Icahn reported a large position in the iPhone maker via Twitter. Apple earlier hit a six-month high and broke above its 20-day moving average for the first time this year. And of course, yesterday, Apple rallied following a report that the company is expected to unveil its next-generation iPhone on September 10th. And certainly, Apple's strength helped to translate into strength in the broader market, with the Dow Industrials up 31.33 at 15,451.01. The S&P 500 was up 4.69 at 1694.16, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 14.49 to finish at 3684.44. The broader market was actually weaker, as New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17 to 12 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Gold was down 1%, and oil was up 0.3%. Within the Dow average, your stronger performers were Hewlett-Packard and Boeing. And among key S&P sectors, financials, among other groups, were probably the best-performing group in general today, while telecoms declined. On the economic front, retail sales edged up 0.2% in July, according to the Commerce Department, which was just below expectations of a gain of 0.3%, and import prices rose less than expected in July, gaining just 0.2% last month, according to the Labor Department. Economists poll before the report had expected prices to rebound 0.6% after four straight months of declines. Business inventories were unchanged in June, and economists polled before the report expected a gain of 0.2%. And meanwhile, Treasury yields jumped, with the benchmark 10-year Treasury note gaining 8 basis points to finish at just shy of 2.7%. In Asia, the Nikkei closed 2.6% higher after the Nikkei newspaper reported that the Prime Minister Abe called for a study on the impact of lowering the current corporate tax rate. And meanwhile, China's benchmark index, the Shanghai Composite, hit its highest level since June 20th on rising economic sentiment. In Europe, shares were higher in morning trade after Germany's closely watched ZEW indicator of economic sentiment came in at its highest level since March. Turning out to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 46 cents at 90.87, CSX down 8 cents at 25.32, AEP down 38 cents at 44.31, AK Steel down 11 cents at 3.63, Marathon Petroleum up $1.89 at 74.94, and Kroger was up 33 cents to finish at 39.14. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Take another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, partly cloudy and cooler with lows in the mid-50s. Currently in Ashland, it's 74 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 75 degrees. In Winchester, it's 77 degrees. In Lexington and Inez, it's 78 degrees. And here in Moorhead, it's 76 degrees.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Sam Steyer, Asa Hosada, and Arlo Barnett. Our feature story this afternoon was done by Paul Hitchcock. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Joshua Grandison and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.